Thanks for joining us for Tech News Update. I'm Charlie Jacobs.
And I'm Zach Bouchard.
Coming up in this episode, we're going to break down all the news from last week's Apple event, including some new Apple Watch announcements. We're going to take a look at new Apple software just announced, along with some new AirPods and the long-awaited iPhone 14 Pro and the Pro Max. What does that mean? Find out coming up next here on the Zachnology Tech Review Podcast.
All right, welcome back to Season 3, Episode 2 of the Zachnology Tech Review Podcast. I'm here with Charlie Jacobs. How are you doing, Charlie?
I'm doing good, Zach. You know, I just want to apologize to everyone quickly. You know, it's been a little while since the Apple event now, but we've been taking our time working on a new podcast, doing some tech stuff behind the scenes, some upgrades. We hope you enjoy them. So, doing good, Zach. Excited to talk about the episode.
Good. So today we're going to be talking about the Apple event that happened last week, and there were a lot of new exciting announcements, including iPhones, Apple Watches, and AirPods. So a lot of cool stuff. I think we should just get right into it with the Apple Watch Ultra. So Charlie, take it away.
That's right. So this is a new product, not a second generation or anything like that. The Apple Watch Ultra, this is the first iteration of that. So this is the largest screen design yet. It's 49 millimeters across. Biggest Apple Watch they've ever made, and they say it's for, quote, athletes and explorers. I say it's for people who want to pay a lot of money for something that tells you what time it is. But regardless, this is going to have 60 hours of battery life, which is by far the longest charge battery life on an Apple Watch so far, and that's after a software update that is yet to be announced. It will have a total battery life of 60 hours, which is really impressive. It's more durable. It has a titanium casing. It's actually twice as bright as any other Apple Watch. And now, as an Apple Watch user, I can confirm that in some circumstances, when it's bright outside, it's kind of hard to see, which is the last thing you want for a watch. So I think that's a really good upgrade. Then it also has something improved voice quality. So Apple Watches usually aren't made for long phone conversations. Oftentimes people will pick up on their watch and transfer to their phone. But with the improved voice quality microphone, the hope obviously is that it'll be better for phone calls. And everything I've listed so far is really just upgrades to things that are already there. It's not necessarily new features as much as it's just basic upgrades. Now there is a couple new features. So there is now an 86 decibel siren for emergencies. So in a minute we're going to talk a little bit more about emergency detection, because that's something else that's new. But 86 decibels, I mean, that's like a train horn or something, isn't that, Zach? I mean, that's pretty loud.
It's extremely loud. And, you know, like you said, now we're getting into more of the specialized part of the Apple Watch Ultra, especially with the announcement of the new Depth app on the Apple Watch Ultra, which will display the time, the current depth, water temperature, duration, and max depth for divers. So again, you know, with the siren and this new app, we're getting into more of the specialized, you know, audience that this Apple Watch is for. It's for athletes, like you said, athletes and explorers who really want more durable, high-tech watch to keep up with their lifestyle.
And one thing I think, Zach, that's a possibility is, at least for me, I got the Apple Watch more for the iPhone features, for texting, picking up calls, app notifications. I got it for that a lot more than the athletic features. And I know that there's even some almost, I want to say, lower-end watches made by, you know, Garmin and Fitbit and whatnot that have those advanced features, and I think that this is entering a little bit more into that market, which is interesting to see as more of a premium fitness watch. Now, one thing I want to say is that the Apple Watch Ultra, remember that's what it's called, is priced at $799. And the first orders are going to arrive on September 23rd, so just a few days away. Now, Zach, $800 for a watch. I know you have a Pixel phone. And that was probably cheaper than this, and this is a watch. I mean, that seems absurdly expensive.
Even some iPhone models are cheaper than that watch, you know. But again, it's for that specialized segment of the market, for these really outdoorsy people who want a watch that is not just going to break the first time you go underwater.
I think it's the same type of crowd who's going to buy the AirPods Max. If you don't know what that is, these are huge, they're not the regular AirPods like the earbuds, they're AirPod headphones, they're these huge headphones that Apple makes. I think they're $550. Which for $550 for headphones? So I think Apple has kind of a niche market of people who love Apple so much that they're willing to pay that much money. And that's why I think it'll sell. I think there's a demographic out there that would buy this watch.
Absolutely.
So, Zach, anything else to add about the Ultra before we move on to the next new watch?
Nope, other than if you're listening to this, you know, shortly after we release this, just know that the first orders for the Apple Watch Ultra will arrive on September 23rd.
That's right, of 2022, if you're listening long in the future. So there's actually two more Apple Watches announced. We got to keep this moving along. There are a lot of announcements. So yeah. The Apple Watch SE is the second one. Now, I am a proud Apple Watch SE owner. Now, the first SE was released in 2020. Really quick background, you know, the iPhone sells an SE model, which has a home button. I think it's based off of the iPhone 7 or 8, which is for people who want a lower-end option, and that's what the Apple Watch is. I think it's based off the Apple Watch 2 or 3 or something like that, and they brand it as the SE. But as of, last week, they are moving to the second generation of the SE, which is priced at $250, which is much more reasonable. And this includes a new S8 chip, the newest generation of the Apple Watch chips, which they claim to be 20% faster. But I feel like I have the current SE, and I click things, they open right away. I don't really know how you could make it much faster, but apparently you could. And now the new chip allows for crash protection, international roaming, and low power mode, which you're probably familiar with if you have an iPhone. And then there's a lighter design with some new refreshed color choices, midnight, starlight, and silver, I think just to kind of give it a revamped look. And then the cellular model, which you can connect to your Verizon, your AT&T, Sprint, I guess they don't exist anymore, you know, T-Mobile, that's going to be $300. And the base model has GPS built in. Now, Zach, I want you to explain. It says, I talked about how the new chip allows for crash protection. Can you explain a little bit more about that? Because I knew that's something that's been announced in a lot of products that's new from this event.
And, you know, we're going to talk more about that in the iPhone, but basically it's more sensors that have been added inside the watch, mainly gyroscopes and accelerometers, which are able to measure how much the device is being moved and in what direction it's being moved. And so then AI software is being put inside the chip so that it can detect when the sensors are getting certain readings that indicate it may have been a crash, such as sudden movements in, you know, the direction of the watch, or if it detects that the watch has come to an abrupt stop, it knows what to look for in those sensors and then can respond accordingly.
Right. So the SE is nothing too crazy, just kind of a refreshed look. Now, Zach, this is where we get back to normal Apple Watch announcements, as we've seen almost every year, the Series 8. So why don't you dive into that a little bit? That is sort of the newest generation of standard. We've talked about the new super high-end model and the new basic model, but the Series 8 is kind of their new standard model.
Yeah, and with the Series 8, we saw that it wasn't very much different from the Series 7. It had the same basic design, although it did have a larger screen with a keyboard. It also had new health features such as body temperature and women's health tracking. But Apple Watch users may remember that on normal Apple Watches, the sleep tracking is manual. You can't have it track your sleep automatically. And unfortunately, this is still the same in the Apple Watch Series 8. Now, Apple Watch Series 8 also comes with the car crash detection, the same that was in the iPhone SE, or I'm sorry, the Apple Watch SE. And this will use the same sensors that were put in there. Also has the new low power mode. It can extend battery life up to 36 hours as long as an iPhone is always paired. It has an always on retina display. Auto start workout. Again, these are features that I think the Apple Watch has had for a little while now. And the pricing is going to be the same as the Apple Watch Series 7 at $399. first orders arrived today, September 16th, when we're recording this.
Yeah, so just to reiterate, it looks pretty much the same as the Series 7. And I'm not sure what you said there, Zach, but I just want to let everyone know the Series 7 already has that keyboard. And it's pretty much the exact same thing from a hardware standpoint. There's just a couple of new features. And considering it's the same price, I would recommend us getting the newer one, because obviously there's nothing to lose.
Yeah. Now it seems like it's mostly software upgrades too, you know, except for the sensors that they put in for car crash detection. Most of these are software updates that could probably be added to older Apple Watch models in the future.
Yeah. So that was, you know, if you're a big Apple Watch fan, I mean, that's about as exciting a day as you're ever going to have. So moving on to the AirPods Pro 2. So, you know, as much as an Apple fan as I am, I get so lost with all the different. There's the AirPods regular, I think they're on the third generation, and then there's the AirPod Max, the big headphones I was just talking about, and now they have the AirPods Pro 2. Now the AirPods Pro, it's hard to describe. They look a little bit different. I think that there's a little bit of black, like a bigger speaker on them. That's how it's hard to describe, but they definitely look different. You'd be able to tell. So there's an unchanged design. This looks the same as the existing AirPods Pro, except there is a extra small ear tip included in the box as an attachment. So I guess that is a new feature, right, Zach? They're being a little more generous now.
Yeah, that's true. And also just, you know, so people with different ear sizes can wear the AirPods comfortably.
Right, so then we're also seeing some other new features, such as the the new H2 audio chip, which is going to add a better noise cancellation amplification as well as clear audio.
Right, and then on top of this, they're going to also add the adaptive transparency feature, which is going to build upon this noise cancellation, but it's mainly for loud background noises such as cars, sirens, or construction tools. So hopefully this will take background noise removal to the next level and not just filter out talking in the background, but rather loud noises that regular background noise canceling doesn't usually, you know, filter out well. They're also adding more touch controls on the stem of the earbud. We don't really know exactly what that's going to look like, but it may be, you know, customizable for the user, so you can control what the different touch commands do. And it's going to offer an additional hour and a half of battery life on a single charge.
One thing I just wanted to add in is right now the current AirPods Pro, when you tap the side of the earbud, it pauses or plays the music. I think those are currently the only features, maybe a power on, power off setting, but I think that maybe there could be, you know, you swipe to skip or something like that. I've heard that there could be, those are some of the rumors about what some of the new features could be. And the pricing is unchanged at $249. So something interesting we've seen is both with the Watch Series 8 and the AirPods Pro 2, we're not seeing price increases over the previous generation models, which, Zach, it seems like a big kind of change in Apple's philosophy. Maybe Tim Cook was getting some angry emails. I mean, I don't know what's going on.
And that was definitely a trend at this Apple event, was unchanged pricing, which, again, is unusual for Apple. Usually they will raise the price by $50 just because of a few minor software changes, especially with inflation and, you know, electronic prices still being super high. It is nice to see that prices haven't really changed.
Absolutely. So now it is time for the biggest announcement of all from this 2022 September Apple event. Zach, that is the, drum roll please,
iPhone 14 and the new iPhone 14 Plus. So let's get right into it. The iPhone 14 will be the same size as the iPhone 14. I'm sorry, the iPhone 13. The iPhone 14 will be the same size as the iPhone 13, first of all. And one of the biggest changes, you could say, is that the mini model is being discontinued in favor of a new Plus model. Now, the Plus model isn't going to necessarily replace the mini model because it's not going to be the same size. Rather, the normal model is going to be their smallest version, and the Plus model is going to be a larger screen. So you're not going to be able to get that small size display that you used to be able to on the iPhone 11, 12, or 13. And, you know, personally, I'm a bit disappointed because I have my phone, I have a Pixel, but it's relatively similar size to the iPhone 13 mini. And I think it's a great size. It fits in my pocket comfortably. I don't feel like it's too big in my hand to carry around, you know, Charlie?
Well, I can totally agree with you. I have a 12 mini. You said 11. I don't think it was actually ever 11 mini. I think it was just the 12 and 13 minis. Oh, it was a really short-lived...
That's my bad, guys.
No. I you know, they have so many names, hard to keep track of. It was a really short-lived program. But, I mean, I've seen plenty of them in public, and I love it. I mean, I've said this before. It's a first-world problem, but you don't have to slide your thumb, which to me makes so much of a difference. Like, you can kind of access everything without moving your hand as much, especially if you have small hands. Like, it's not something you think about, but, like, when you have the opportunity to get that smaller phone, I would take it. And I've had nothing good things to say about the 12 mini, and I'm kind of disappointed they're getting rid of this, because if there was perhaps a 14 mini, maybe I'd be more inclined to get a new phone, whereas now I kind of just would feel more comfortable sticking with what I have right now.
Right, and part of the reason for this might be battery size. You know, they can fit a larger battery and a larger phone, and so, you know, Apple has never been known to have great battery life, so part of this might be they want to improve their battery life. By doing so, they have to remove their smaller models. But regardless, the iPhone 14 is now the smallest model they offer, and the Plus is basically just the max version of it, you could say. It's just a larger version of the iPhone 14. So if you see that on their website, don't get it confused with the Pro. They're not great at the branding, but the Plus is just a larger model. Now, let's get into some of the hardware that's actually inside the phone. So it's going to be powered by the A15 Bionic chip. This is the same chip that we saw inside the iPhone 13. So there's not much of an upgrade there. However, Apple does say that it should show a little bit faster performance. We'll see how that goes. But it's also going to have car crash detection, the same car crash detection that was introduced on the Apple Watches. Now, this is going to likely use the same sensors. So it's going to use accelerometers and gyroscopes to detect when it thinks you've been in a car crash. But of course, it'll vibrate and beep, and you'll have a chance to respond before it contacts emergency services. It's also going to have a better and brighter display, something we've seen on all the iPhone models prior to this. Their displays just keep getting better and better, as well as, of course, better cameras. So they're going to be larger cameras, better quality cameras, but still at 12 megapixels. And with the new camera hardware, they've also introduced new camera software. It's called their True Depth technology. It's going to offer better low light photos and adaptive flash, and a new ultra wide camera, as well as action mode for smooth videos. Again, these will come standard on both the iPhone 14 and the iPhone 14 Plus. And another one of the biggest announcements in the iPhone category is the support for satellite connectivity. Now, this goes along with the safety segment in terms of car crash detection. So it will have a satellite phone built in for an emergency SOS. So if you're ever in an area where you don't have Wi-Fi or cellular connection, you'll be able to use this SOS to send out an emergency broadcast. And then emergency services will be contacted, and they can handle it from there.
Right, and this is, I mean, you know, if you're going, you know, wilderness exploring or something, you'll often see people who have like that big satellite phone with all the old-fashioned numbers on it, and that's, I would think, a couple $100. So this is not something that you would use just to make regular phone calls. I think it really has to stretch out the network to give you an SOS message. Obviously, if you're going to be in a circumstance where you think you would need a satellite phone, I would not recommend relying solely on your iPhone 14. I would still want to have a physical satellite phone with me. I think it's meant more as a backup as opposed to like a, hey, we're giving you a satellite phone. I think it's a different thing. And well, go ahead, Zach.
Well, I was just going to say, it doesn't actually have the capacity to make a call. It really just sends your location to Apple, and then Apple contacts emergency services from there. You don't actually have the ability to make a phone call, and I mean, it can't be to anyone else. So it's a very, very restrictive feature, but if you're ever in a situation where you might need it, it could be very helpful.
It could. And so that service is going to be free for 2 years in the U.S. and Canada, I assume. There will be some sort of subscription after that. So now it's time for the absolutely biggest announcement, which is the iPhone 14 Pro and the iPhone 14 Pro Max, which we've never heard before. Now, Zach talked about this at the beginning, but I really quickly want to emphasize the sizes because it's so confusing. The standard size is the iPhone 14, just the regular. Then the Plus is larger than that. And then, Zach, how does the Pro size with this? This is all so much.
So the iPhone 14 Pro should be the same size as the iPhone 14. And then we're assuming the Pro Max will be a larger version of that. We don't know how the Pro Max is going to compare to the Plus in terms of sizing, but I would expect them to be relatively similar. You know, the Plus is really just the Pro Max without the Pro, I like to say. So just in the sizing category, that's what you're looking at. But you're going to notice another big, you could say, hardware change in the screen, and the addition of the dynamic island. So you may recall, if you've owned an iPhone within the past 3 or 4 years, that iPhones have the notch up at the top, and many iPhone users have complained about this for years.
You know, I've never, Zach loves to talk about how it's terrible. I have never had a problem with the notch. Nor have I ever heard of anyone having a problem with the notch. So before you go around spreading these big claims, I think that's very subjective. I think that I understand how it could be ugly, but I think plenty of people are okay with it, Zach. I just want to make sure my voice is heard.
I'm sure many people are okay with it, but when you look at the Android alternatives where it's just a punch hole, I think that is very much more appealing to users. Regardless, they have changed the design. It is now a small cutout at the top of the screen. So if you've ever owned an Android where it's the pill cutout, so it's not a circle, it's just kind of extended. It's a pill cutout up at the top of the screen. It'll be centered. It's going to be larger than what you would typically expect to find on an Android. It's going to be about the same width as the notch, except that there's going to be screen in between the cutout and the top of the display. It's just a little bit, but it means that it's going to be inside the display rather than a notch up at the top. Now, let's talk about why they call it the dynamic island, because this was a very, very exciting new feature. Now, the dynamic island is designed to hold the camera and face recognition sensors, as the notch has always done, as well as display information to the user on the sides of the dynamic island. So it's actually going to utilize the screen around it. It's going to turn those pixels black to make it look like it's part of the notch or the punch hole or pill or whatever you want to call it. And on the sides, it's going to display information to the users like important alerts, other notifications, controls for FaceTime, live activities, album art for a song you're currently playing. So any information that might be that the user might want at that moment when they're not in that specific app, such as, you know, if they want to see what song's playing but they're not in Spotify, they can see that on the dynamic island. So it's just going to provide this information on the outside. It's designed to look as though it's part of that notch, you could say. Now, also in the display category, they've added an always-on display, which is very exciting because it's a feature that many Androids have had for years. So people have been asking Apple about this for a very long time. Apple finally added it to an iPhone. It's always-on display. So as long as your phone's battery is high enough, it will always leave your display on, just in a more dim state. So typically on Androids, it just displays the time and notification icons. That's it. However, on the iPhone, it's actually going to dim your wallpaper as well. So instead of just using a black background, it's actually going to have a very, very dim version of your wallpaper, and then the typical information you might find on an always-on display, such as, you know, your lock screen notifications. It's also going to have your widgets. It's basically just going to be a very, very dim version of your lock screen, which is something we've never seen on an Android before. Usually with Android, it's just the text. So, you know, many Apple users are excited about this. I'm interested to see how this plays out in terms of battery life. I would expect this to consume a lot more battery than the Android ones, but we'll see. Apple probably has a plan for that. And on the internals, it's going to be using the A16 Bionic chip. Now, this chip is only for the Pro model. You may recall that we said the iPhone 14 would be using the A15 chip. That's the same chip that was standard inside the iPhone 13. The numbers are all very confusing, but the A16 Bionic is only going to come in the iPhone 14 Pro, and it's likely going to be faster, more efficient, though we don't really know how much. And the camera is now a 48 megapixel sensor, which is a significant upgrade over what it had before. It's going to have higher quality zoom and improvements to low light photos, just like in the regular model. It's going to come with all those same features that were standard in the iPhone 14, such as, you know, the true depth technology, ultra wide, and action mode. And it's also going to include the satellite SOS features. And the price is going to start at $999.
That's right. And then the Pro Max model, I was just looking up, starts at $1,100 or $45.79 a month for 24 months, if you'd rather finance it, which, you know, I'm not your financial advisor, but that's always an option, which I was actually surprised. I mean, I don't have the best sense of these prices, but $1,100 for the absolute brand new top of the line does not seem out of the question, and it's kind of funny because that's only $300 more than the new watch, which I found right. to be kind of funny. So, Zach, you know, I remember last fall, you and I did this same tech news update, you know, Apple event, September 2021. I remember the words was like, welcome to tech news update. That was underwhelming. It's pretty much what we said.
That was.
And this year, I think, was the complete opposite. I think that it was really cool to see. We mentioned Apple with all of these new products without the price increases. And you can tell they're trying to compete more with Android with some of these features that Android's had for a long time. And I just thought it was maybe one of their best Apple events we've ever seen. But one other thing I wanted to mention, completely unrelated to this, related to our last episode, is Apple has pretty much said no to the Android campaign. Really quick refresher, Android was running an anti-Apple campaign to try to get them to integrate their two text messaging systems together, and Apple pretty much said no. I remember good old Tim Cook, he said something along the lines of, like, if your mom has green text, then just buy her an iPhone. So I think, Zach, I think Android may have lost that battle.
Yeah, that's Android has definitely lost the battle for now, I will say. But, you know, going back to the Apple event, you're absolutely right. It was a much more exciting Apple event than last year. You could totally call last year's underwhelming. We didn't see many new features on the iPhone 13. And I could just tell by, you know, iPhone sales and just being out in public, not many people had the iPhone 13. At least it wasn't as popular as when the iPhone 11 or the iPhone 12 came out. So I'm interested to see how sales are with the iPhone 14, because I already know of at least one person who has the iPhone 14 Pro. And especially with the addition of the dynamic island and the always on display, I mean, these are features that Apple users have wanted for a long time. So I would be interested to see if the sales on this model are higher than they've been in the past.
Absolutely. So I think that is about going to wrap it up for season three. Isn't that crazy, Zach? Third season.
Season I can't believe three that. Already.
Episode two of the Zachnology Tech Review Podcast. But before you go, make sure to download the new Zachnology Tech Review Podcast mobile app available on the Google Play Store or through our website. Just search Zachnology on the Google Play Store. We have an amazing app. You can listen to the podcast, record voice messages. If you have any, you know, contact information, anything you need is on that app, or visit our website, tech-reviews.zachnology.com. So for Zach Bouchard and everyone here at Zachnology, I'm Charlie Jacob. Thanks for listening to this episode of the podcast, and we'll see you next time. Have a great day, everybody.
Podcasts are copyright 2022 by Zilcharlie Enterprises Limited Liability Corporation, all rights reserved. Zilcharlie has received paid compensation from Spotify Technologies SA. Zilcharlie reserves the right to use voice messages in the podcast for a paid compensation.